The National Broadcasting Company presents Clifton Utley's commentary on the news. Here is Mr. Utley speaking from Chicago.
Good evening. Tonight, as oft before in history, all roads lead to Rome. We are witnessing, indeed, we Americans are taking part in the struggle for the soul of Italy. In this struggle, we labor under one very great handicap. The communists, acting at the behest of Moscow, can go to Italian voters during the present election campaign and argue as follows. Vote communist, they say, and save your own skin. They then develop their argument as follows. You might as well vote for us, they say, because if you vote for us communists and the Democratic parties win, well, nothing will happen to you. The Democratic parties, being democratic, won't do anything to you. But if you vote for the Democratic parties and we communists win, then you stand a good chance of getting shot or being jailed or losing your job, because we communists do that sort of thing, and you know it. The Italian people, of course, do know it. They know what happened to the Bulgarian and Yugoslav non-communist opposition once the Soviet Union effectively snatched those nations behind the Iron Curtain. This totalitarian technique of threatening the individual's personal safety if he votes against Soviet-backed communism is effective. For the very reason that, as the communists themselves are the first to point out, the democratic parties and the democratic nations cannot and will not use an equally strong counter-pressure. For the simple reason that if they do, they cease to be democratic. Thus, in this struggle for the soul of Italy, we begin with a serious handicap. We can and do make counter-moves. We shall make more between now and the Italian elections of April 18th. Secretary Marshall has told the Italian people that if they vote communist, they will get no aid from the European Recovery Program. And anti-communist Premier De Gasperi, in election addresses today throughout Italy, saw to it that these words of Marshall's reached the ears of most Italians. This move of ours is effective pressure, because a number of Italians, at least, will know that if they don't get aid from us, their living standards will fall still further. We have also proposed that Trieste be returned to Italy, a move clearly designed to embarrass the Italian communists, since Italian communists cannot favor the return of Trieste to Italy unless Moscow gives the word. And Moscow, in all likelihood, cannot give the word, because if she did so, she would unduly offend her Yugoslav satellite, which hopes in time to engineer a putsch and swallow all the Trieste Free City area. We will probably go farther in the next few days and propose once again that Italy be admitted to the United Nations, a step that would have been taken long since had Russia not vetoed Italian admission. Russia, in all likelihood, will again veto Italian admission, because we won't vote for admission of Moscow's Balkan satellites to the United Nations. A new Soviet veto of Italian United Nations membership would, of course, further embarrass Italy's Moscow-backed communists. It would help the Italian Democratic parties in the coming election. Also thrown into the Italian political balance is the influence of the Catholic Church, whose spokesmen have openly referred to the possibility of religious sanctions being taken against those who vote communist. The list of moves being made to counter Soviet pressure is thus quite substantial. But in simplest form, the basic question is this. Will all these counter pressures together be as strong as the one inherently personal pressure of the communists who say, vote for us and save your skin? Vote against us? Would you risk getting shot, going to jail, or at the very least, losing your job, if we win? No other pressure, not even the pressure of the church, can operate as immediately and as directly on the individual Italian voter and on his personal safety as this pressure the Soviet-backed Italian communists are able to use. So the question is, how will the Italian voter, when he goes to the polls April 18th, react to these competing pressures for possession of his political soul? Clearly, there can be no final answer tonight. But I would like to suggest this thought for your very serious consideration. It seems likely that the marginal Italian voter who will decide the election will feel able to vote against communism only if he feels there is a very good chance that the communists will not win, and if he also feels that once the communists fail to win in an election, they will be kept from taking over by a putsch or a coup, as happened in Czechoslovakia. Because only if he feels that the Moscow-backed Italian communists will be unable to snatch power by a coup based on Russian military power fed through Yugoslavia, only then can the Italian voter feel relatively safe, personally, in voting against communism in the coming election. No. The proposal to return Trieste to Italy can make Italians feel happy and well-disposed to us, but it can't make them feel safe from a communist putsch. Nor can the proposal to admit them to the United Nations, which proposal Moscow would, of course, veto. The offer of European Recovery Program aid can materially improve the Italian long-run outlook, if there's going to be a long-run outlook. But it cannot insure Italy against a communist putsch after the elections, and thus it cannot make Italians feel safe in voting anti-communist and pro-democratic at the elections. What then can or could make the Italians feel reasonably safe from a putsch and thus make them feel able to vote as they pleased on April 18th? It seems to me that the only thing that could do this would be clear evidence that political steps were being taken to guarantee military aid to nations threatened with a Moscow-backed coup, which in reality means threatened with Russian aggression. Some steps in that direction have already been taken. The Anglo-French-Benelux Treaty of this past week was a most important step because the five nations that made that 50-year treaty promised specifically to give all military and other aid in their power to any member that is attacked. That represents a degree of European unity long sought and only now achieved by five nations. And the idea that the same guarantee may be extended to Italy and various other countries has certainly not been lost on the Italians. But two things are to be noted. First, the guarantee has not yet been extended to Italy, and the elections are close, April 18th. Second, how much would the guarantee as it now stands actually be worth in military terms, even if it were made? Let's take an analogy. Suppose an insurance company about to go bankrupt seeks to reinsure its contracts with other companies to prevent loss to its policyholders. Such a move on its face would make sense, providing other companies could be found willing to do the reinsuring. But now suppose the four other companies doing the reinsuring are all bankrupt too. It's perfectly clear that one bankrupt reinsuring another isn't going to do much good for anyone. Now in a military sense, England, France, Belgium, the Netherlands, and Luxembourg, the five nations that made the new anti-aggression treaty, are all bankrupt, in that the military power of all five together would not be sufficient to stand up against the power of a Soviet aggression. And everybody knows it. It follows then that even if the anti-aggression guarantee of the new five-nation treaty were extended to Italy, it would still not guarantee Italy freedom from a Soviet-inspired coup and would not make the hesitant, fence-sitting Italian voter feel it was even reasonably safe to vote as he pleased. What then could make him feel safe? Obviously, the only thing that could be effective would be a European guarantee of military aid against aggression, which guarantee would include Italy, and which guarantee would then be underwritten and reinsured by the United States with a political guarantee that we would come to the military aid of any of a given list of European nations that became the victim of aggression. For we are the one nation whose participation in a guarantee might well give the Soviet Union pause and make it hesitate to undertake a putsch. Where do we stand regarding such a guarantee? President Truman's foreign policy address to Congress last Wednesday clearly implied that we are preparing to extend such a guarantee. The president praised the five-power Western European treaty with its guarantee of mutual aid against aggression and then said, "I am sure that the determination of the free countries of Europe to protect themselves will be matched by an equal determination on our part to help them protect themselves." Note that word, equal. The five European nations have guaranteed each other all military aid if aggression takes place. If we show an equal determination to help them protect themselves, well, the implication is that we too will give a military guarantee as a political supplement to the Marshall Plan. But the point is, all this is implication. It isn't stated explicitly. President Truman, in almost the next sentence of his address, then said, "I believe that we have reached the point at which the position of the United States should be made unmistakably clear. And yet, with the April 18th Italian election staring us in the face, our position is still not unmistakably clear. It is made clear only by implication. And the question is whether the implication is clear enough or explicit enough to have the desired effect in Rome and throughout Italy." One can, of course, understand why the president doesn't move more rapidly than he does. This is election year. And he doubtless feels that if he moves any faster than he moved last week, the whole matter will become a partisan one and bogged down in election politics. Much better, then, to throw out the implication and hope that congressmen from both parties will seize the ball and run with it, making the whole move a nonpartisan one. Given what we Americans know about our domestic politics, this makes good sense. So much sense that many Americans were surprised the president went as far as he did in his speech to Congress last Wednesday. Yet contrast this American reaction with the general West European response, which was that the speech was definitely a step in the right direction, but which also expressed surprise that the president didn't move more rapidly than he did. This shows that those closer to the spot think it is even later than most of us here believe it to be. Clearly, it is late. The fall of Czechoslovakia was tragic, but the fall of Italy would basically alter world strategy. The fear is that if Italy went behind the Iron Curtain, the entire Mediterranean position would go, including French North Africa and possibly metropolitan France, too. Looking farther ahead, the fear is that the loss of French North Africa would mean the loss within 5 years or so of Dakar on the African West Coast, Dakar with its finger pointed at South America, and with the consequent fear that loss of Dakar would be followed by Moscow-backed totalitarian revolutions in Latin America that would leave us quite literally without any important ally in the world, except perhaps the Dominion of Canada. I know that many will laugh at this prospect, but perhaps before doing so, they should ask themselves whether they would have laughed 3 years ago if anyone had then predicted all the Russian expansionist moves that are today an accomplished fact. Truly, viewed in the perspective of history, the case of Italy is of supreme importance to our American security. It is vital that Italians feel secure against a Soviet-backed putsch after April 18th, because only if they do feel secure, only then will they muster the courage to vote against a party that constantly says, play it safe, vote for us, because if you don't, you'll be liquidated, or go to jail, or lose your job and we take over. The issue before us in the days ahead is whether, given the necessarily slow processes of policy formation in a democracy, which are even slower than usual in an election year, the question is whether in the weeks, yes, even in the days ahead, we can move with sufficient speed to counteract the great force of the constant Soviet-backed propaganda of the Italian communists, which gets its main strength from these words, vote for us or else, and from the common knowledge that the or else has real and grim meaning wherever the Russians have taken over. One thing worth noting is that though we are in many ways inadequately prepared in a military sense, in one way, our military arrangements to meet a possible crisis in Italy may be substantially ahead of our political moves. For in recent weeks and months, we have concentrated considerable strength, particularly air strength, in Tripoli, thus in the immediate neighborhood of Italy, a fact that is fully known to the Soviet government and which might well make the Soviet Union think twice before backing any military coup in Italy, in the event that we should move sufficiently rapidly and extend to Italy, as to other European nations, the military guarantee against aggression that President Truman clearly, judging from the terms of his address last Wednesday, has in mind. Good night.
You have heard Clifton Utley's commentary on the news. Mr. Utley is heard each Sunday night at this time speaking from the NBC newsroom in Chicago. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.